grateful. I come to you this morning with a grateful heart and a grateful spirit, just to be grateful for my place in this earth, my place in this space. Sometimes I maybe not always understand exactly what it is that I'm supposed to do and why I'm supposed to do it, but I trust his plan. For the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. Good morning, brothers and sisters of the Safe House Church and all other friends who may be watching from around the world. God is good and he's worthy to be praised. And I'm your pastor, Dr. Peter Ely. I'm just so grateful to be in this space, as today is our anniversary. Today is our birthday. Today is the day that we decided to celebrate, you know, the inception of the Safe House Church in August. Oh, amen. The first Sunday in August every year we celebrate the celebration and the start of this ministry here in the city of Greensboro. And this year is officially year number 2. And we're just so grateful to God to be in this space. I did not think or know last year that we would be in this space and where we are now, and not less in a pandemic, amen. But God is good, and we just worthy to be praised. And I'm just so glad to see my good friend, Brother Biggles, have signed on. It was last year this time that we had him at the Safe House Church, and he was officially installing us as pastor. And then, you know, he just dropped a tremendous word of God on us that we were our own tribe. And I come to find that to be true, that, you know, the Safe House Church is an acquired taste. Amen. You know, it's not for everybody, because, you know, we're about living holy. We're about holding up the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ, and we're about just walking. We're not perfect. We're far from a perfect people, but we are blood-washed people, that we have been forgiven, and our sins have been forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. And because of that, we walk in that newness of life. We walk into that knowing that each and every day that maybe we might not get it exactly right, but we're striving towards perfection. At Safe House Church, we work out 3 principles, and they're very simple. We call DEA, discipleship, empowerment, and accountability. We're going to teach you the word of God, and we're going to give you what God has given us, and we're going to always point you to Christ. We're not going to point you to ourselves. We're not going to uplift who we are, because all we are is a vessel. And just like we're a vessel, God can choose you to be his new vessel and to replace me. So, you know, you're not going to praise me, but I push you towards him. I push you there intentionally. Why? Because it's not me, but it's him who we worship and who we believe and who our faith and our trust is in. Amen. And then we look at empowerment. Empowerment what? That God, you know, he empowered the disciples to walk out and do the work that he told them to do. So it's about empowerment. You know, this is not one of those churches where you just sit down and you be entertained and you just hear all this stuff. And, you know, and I heard it said just on this past week that churches was one of the only, you know, was the reason the movement in the church seems to be dead, or it seems like it's not going anywhere, is that it's the only place where people sit and not required to do anything. And I rebuke that comment. I rebuke it and send it back to the pits of the hell, because this is not only place, and there's others who actually go out and we do the work of the kingdom. Amen. This is not a place. So if you're looking for a place just to come down and sit and do anything, then maybe you need to find somewhere else. But this Safe House is what? It's a place of safety. And why is it safety? Because we're constantly going out trying to get others to come into the Safe House, to come into the place of safety. Where's that place of safety? In God. Amen. It's under him. What? It's under the shadow of his wing, as the Bible was saying in the Psalms. It's under that shadow that what he, that we hide and we have a refuge. That the Safe House is a place of refuge. It's a place of safety, that what, under the Jesus, that what, I'm safe. It doesn't mean that everybody's in there is perfect. That means that everybody in there got it all together, but it's a place of safety, a place of advice, a place of multitude of counsel. It's a place of acknowledgement. It's a place of understanding. Oh, come on, somebody. And then we have the accountability, because if you're going to be in here, then what, we have to be accountable for what we do and what we say. That it is a place of safety, but in that place that what, we're not there to harm one another, that we are there to what, uplift, but we also to hold each other what, accountable. Amen. Oh, come on, somebody. That accountability is important. And I know, like I said, that's a cuss word in our society today, that when you're talking about holding somebody accountable, when you're talking about accountability, people run away from that. But I see people all the time who also come to the altar to say, you know what, I know that I need accountability. I know there's more that to this than that. I know that God wants me to live to a bigger and higher standard in him. And I'm just so grateful to God this morning for that standard that we know to be Christ. Amen. And that I point you back to that standard. on each and every opportunity that I get on this morning. So this morning, without further ado, I'm not going to hold us up any further. I know many have been on vacation and all over the place, and but I'm just grateful that, far as I know, everybody's safe and everybody has enjoyed themselves and nobody has been stricken with the coronavirus or anything like that in our immediate midst. And I'm just grateful. Trust me, like anybody else, I was really striving to be back in our building today. Even the people we rent our building from was called me yesterday and was asking us to be coming because they knew it was an anniversary for us. But, you know, and God in all his wisdom, you know, he just, you know, was like, well, you know what, it's good for us just to stay where we are, amen, and just to, you know, to go forth in there and go forward in that this morning. And I'm just so grateful, and I apologize for this phone ringing in the background. I don't know, people know that we are on this time, and I ain't gonna lie, it's extremely frustrating, but don't worry about it. Next week, I'm gonna make sure the phone is unplugged. Don't call my house. I'm sorry. Do not call my house while we on the air. I'm just sorry. It's very distracting. And many know that we have in church and we still. So please do not do that. I ask that. I'm sorry I had to be pastor there for a moment. Safe House Church, he asked for the drop. Cash App. Our Cash App is at Safe House Church GSO, at Safe House Church GSO. If you would like to Cash App us a gift or any token of your appreciation, we'll be so grateful to that. I guess we'll put that in the comment real quickly as we go forward on this morning, because I want to go in and I want to give you the word that God has given us on this morning, I believe, to help us to go through what we're going through right now. All right. Safe House. What is it? Safe House Church. Give me a second. GSO. Safe House Church. So that's our Cash App. Safe House GSO. I just dropped that down in the comment box. For those who wanted to be able to be a financial blessing to the Safe House Church. As you know, and those who do know who celebrate with us, know that everything that we put into the Safe House Church goes directly to the Safe House Church in way of equipment. Look at this beautiful equipment. You see how nice and crisp I come to you in the camera? Do you hear how crisp the sound is, that God has given us the ability to have an excellent broadcast here in our space? And we're just so grateful for that. And I'm just, you know, glad that God's just seen this, to share this light upon us here at the Safe House Church. So this morning, without any further ado, let's go right into the Word of God on this morning. This morning, I want to talk to you a little bit, and I want to just, you know, I want to teach a little bit more than preach or anything else, because I want us to get some things and understand. I want us to get some things in our spirit. I want us to make sure that we understand some things here of God, because so many times, you know, people, we get taught that and we get taught to, but we don't get understanding. And here about the Safe House Church, you know, as we go into our second year, I want us to understand that it's understanding, and all we get understanding, and that understanding in here is key. Understanding is part of what we have to do, because as we understand more, we'll do more. And as we do more, then God will open up what our capacity to go forward and more. I know a lot of us say, we want more. No, I'm going to do more for you. Well, my question would be to you, what are you doing with what he's giving you? What are you doing with what he's giving you? What is the point of giving you more to do when you're not handling that which he's already giving you? What is it to give you more to go for when you're not choosing the right thing to do with that little bit that he's giving you? So today we want to explore that we have some brothers and sisters here that was in the Christ, that was in the church, that mishandled some of God's things. They mishandled some of the things that God had given them, and they had some rights. How many of you and I know that we have rights? We have rights. We have rights. We have rights. We have rights. But sometimes our rights infringe upon what is right. Oh, come on, somebody. Sometimes our rights infringe upon what is right. You know, we live in a country right now that, you know, we talk about all these rights, and we have civil rights, and they are important that we have civil rights. And then we have we have rights to be able to do things. We know our Constitution gives us what we call certain inalienable rights, you know, the right to the pursuit of happiness and the right to be able to work and do all these different things. And we have the right to choose. And God has given us these rights even in our own birth and even in Christ. Believe it or not, do you not know that serving God is a choice, that you have the right to serve him or you have the right not to serve him? God is not a God where he forces himself upon anybody. That what he gives you the right to serve him. He said that what I want you to freely serve me. God is not a God that what if you don't serve him, it's a choice. Do you not know every single day of my life, every single moment of my life, I have to choose to be saved? I know something, well, when I get the Holy Ghost, then everything just gonna fall in place. No, you have to choose to be saved. You have to choose to live right. It's a choice. And everything about our life is a choice. And I'm here to tell you that the better choices you make, the better your life outcomes. Why? Because grace and mercy follows those choices. You know, intent is not enough. You know, we have the intent of doing things, but intent is not enough. We have to go the next step. So what happens when your right, come on, what happens when your right is on top of what is conflicts with what is right? Let's talk about that a little bit on here on today. So I want to go with you. Let's go ahead and we go into our Bibles. Again, shout out to the blueletterbible.org. You know, I always give them a shout out every week because I've been using this Bible for years. And I encourage you all. It's a beautiful, beautiful space to be able to work within. The blueletterbible.org. And I always give a shout out to them because they, you know, just good. It's just good. It's just good. It's just good. All right. So if you went with me, let me give you my scripture and verse today. We're not starting right there. I want to make sure I got it right here. Shouts out to Sister Frances Williams, who celebrated a birthday on yesterday. I hope she don't mind me telling her age, but she turned a big 4 or 5 on yesterday. So we're just grateful that God has allowed her, you know, one of our newer members here at the Safe House Church, but God has allowed her to be here with us 45 years. And we just look at her celebrating another 45, you know, amen. You know, if God, you know, be the glory, amen. So let's start at Acts 4 and 34. Acts 4 and 34. So I want to give you a little bit of background so you can understand where we're going and why we're going where we're going, because it's important that you understand context. So typically, when we study in the Bible, one of the things that you often tell people that you want to read the chapter before and then you want to read the chapter after. If you read the chapter before, it gives you like a kind of sets the atmosphere of what's going on. And then when you get the chapter after, you kind of see how things kind of went into place. So what we find here is Peter is here with the people of God. And here we're going to start in verse 34. And the people of God here have things. They've been blessed with all kinds of stuff. And we find ourselves today that, you know, you and I don't know about you, but I'm a blessed man. I am a blessed man. And it's not, I'm blessed with a whole lot of just things, but, you know, I'm blessed in my body, you know, because there are people I've seen who are my age that look tore down and broke down. That I see people that are my age that can barely walk and can't get around and all this stuff. And if you can get around and you can shake and throw your hands up in the air and move around and not hurt too much. Oh, y'all know what I'm talking about. Those who are starting to kind of get up there a little bit. If you can move around, that is something to be grateful for. Amen. So it says this, Acts 4 and 34, and it says this. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought them the prices of the things that were sold. So here it is that what they had all these things. They had properties and all this kind of stuff. And what they did is that what they sold these things and they brought the money to the church. Listen to what it says. And laid them down at the feet of the apostles, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Uh-oh. Now, I know there are people out here, you know, we live in communist, I mean, not communist, but I'm sorry, you know, people get on me about that. But we live in a capitalistic society, you know, meaning that what, you know, you go out here, you earn this thing and you have endless earning potential. But here in the Bible, what we find is that, yes, people had things and stuff, but when they came to Christ, what they did is they understand that I am my brother's keeper. I know people don't like to hear that, but I am, you know, I am my brother's keeper, because if I'm keeping my brother and my brother's keeping me, then what? Everybody has somebody watching their back. Oh, come on, somebody. But see, we're in this, you know, we've been brought up in America, and in America, it's a dog eat dog world. Everybody go get their own. It's about you got yours and I gotta go get mine. And you know, people don't share and people don't see the point. So this is why we end up in the place that what we find ourselves in right now, that people are, you know, the Bible said they're a lover of themselves, and that it's all about them, about what they can get and what they can gain and how much more they can get. And you know, and I learned that people who have money, they want more money. And why? Because it's never enough. You know, I even found myself in the rat race. You know, you get this and you get that and you find yourself saying, well, you know, it's still not enough. And then what happens is as you acquire more money, then your taste change. Oh, come on, somebody. Your taste change. You want more stuff. You want more high-end stuff. You want to go to bigger restaurants. You want bigger steaks. You want more of this. You want more of that. Oh, can I just tell the truth to somebody this morning? But all these things change. You know, the shirt from Roses was cool, but now you only have the shirt from Roses. Now it's got to be a polo. And the polo was cool, but now it's got to be a Gucci. And the Gucci was cool, but now it's got to be a Fendi. And next thing you know, it comes in, you got custom Versace shirts and all kinds of stuff that your taste continues to change as your income level changes. I know it's a disease and it's a thing that all of us fight. You know, whether you're trying to keep up with somebody or whether you say to yourself, I've earned these things and why can't I have the nicer things of life? And you have a right to have them. And you have a right to be able to possess them. And you have a right because, wait, if you went out and you did, God has blessed you. You do have a right to be able to have all these things. And you do have a right to be able to walk in that. Today's subject, for those who have not caught it by now, is choosing right over your rights. Oh, come on, somebody. Tell somebody else, put in the chat right now, for somebody to put in the chat for me, choosing right over your rights. Put that in the chat for me, somebody. Choosing right over your rights. Oh, come on, somebody. So here they have a right to do this, but what do? The Bible said they go in and they sell it and they put it before the God, before the apostles' feet. Now, what does the apostle do? The apostles do not do what? They do not go and take this money and put it in their pockets. Oh, come on, somebody. I know I'm about to get in trouble, but you know what? Shame the devil. Tell the truth and shame the devil, as they used to say. But what do? They go and they put the money down at the apostles' feet for what? What does the Bible say? For distribution. Oh, come on. It didn't say that they put it in their pocket. It didn't say they was for the building fund. And I understand and know that we need those things. And those things are good in their appropriate time. But what do we find here? He takes them. He says, takes the money. They put it at the apostles' feet for distribution unto every man according to as he has need. So what is he saying here? If you have brothers and sisters who are in your congregation, who are in need, and you are in surplus, oh, come on, somebody. I know they're not going to like this. I'm not going to have a lot of views off this. We are what? Supposed to help one another. Now, what sense does it make that you and your congregation and everything is nice and everybody's eating well and you have a brother and sister who's truly a brother and sister? Now, don't get me wrong. Now, I know we have some people who end up being, I call them church panhandlers, and we have our share of them too. But, you know, I pray about it and we go on, and sometimes God says, yep, do it. And then sometimes I feel God says no and I just leave it alone. Amen. You know, but, you know, because we, you know, Safe House Church is a charity, but we can't be a charity case because we do have to be accountable to God's people. Amen. And there's a number of people that this ministry is blessed, a number of people who probably never say a word about it. But, you know, and we'll never say a word about it unless they want to say a word about it. But God has been good to us. And sometimes God has put upon our house. That's why the Safe House Church is a blessed church. We're not many in number, but we are mighty in spirit. We're not many in number, but we are great in strength. We are not many in number, but God has blessed us financially, be able to bless people and help people. And those who come through our doors would tell you that they have been blessed. Whether it was a minister that came through and they ministered to us, Safe House, not like say maybe 10, 15, 20 of us, but you know what? It's been first class service, like it was 1,000 of us. Oh, come on, somebody. They would testify to that and others that God has brought through us. But this is what? Because it's not about us. That my needs are taken care of. Amen. That God has blessed me with a great job and I'm grateful for that job and I love doing my job. And is it hard sometimes? Would I like just to be full-time ministry and not to do anything else? Absolutely. But at this time, what God has us is that what? I need to be able to do this because what? There's some people around us who are in lack. They are in need. Is it my right to be able to say, do this and do that? Absolutely. But is it right? See, this thought, I was thinking about this and I saw, you know, the great apologetist, Robbie Zachariah, who just passed, you know, man, tremendous man of God, could just, you know, be apologetic, meaning apologetic, you know, people who are apologists, what they do is they defend the gospel, amen? And as he could go in and he could defend the gospel and he would just go forward and all these things, and he brought up this idea of when our rights violate, then right. And we in a place now in our society that we are at a place now that people, rights are being violated left and right. But in all these rights being violated, what about what is right? Yes, I can have things. Yes, I can do these things. I can be here. I can do that. But what is right? Because I have the right, to be honest, the law gives me the right to have an abortion. The law gives me the right to be able to shoot people who walk in my yard. They call it the castle doctrine. Oh, come on, somebody. The law gives me the right to have as many guns as I want. Oh, I know I'm coming in somebody's living room right now, but it's the truth. But just because I have the right, because the law of the land gives me the right, does not make it right. See, remember the law of the land is what? It's a man-made law. It belongs to man. It's incubated by man. It's created by man. It's based on man's best understanding, which is not on par with God's understanding. He said what? That thing that we think are good is just foolishness. Mm-hmm. So when we have man's law versus God's law, which one do you decide that you want to choose? Which one do you decide? When the law of the land said this is cool and you have the right to do this, what about what is right? Now, as a researcher and as a scholar, I know I have to stop and I have to give back and give you definitions so that you can be able to put in full context and be able to comprehend where I'm going with this. When we talk about a right, when I'm talking about a right, right in sense of a moral cause, right meaning what is morally right? Well, Peter, you say, well, then well, how do you determine what's morally right? Well, morally right in our context today is the absolute of the Bible. It's the absolute of God's word. So what? For you to be able to judge something right from wrong, we must also first have what? Something that's an absolute. And the absolute for us as believers, the absolute for us as Christians is what? The infallible word of God, that I believe it from cover to cover. It's I can do what it says I can do, and I can't do what it says I can't do. And this is why we must first, before we go to anybody, before we get anybody to come to God, before we speak to anybody, that we must establish first, do you believe that this Bible from cover to cover, the 66 books that have been canonized by King James, that King James gave the scholars the authority to canonize, is this the infallible word of God? I know some say, well, you know, we can talk about this. They left out the Dead Sea Scroll and the Book of Maccabees and all these lost books of the Bible, this and that. But what we have on record, what God knows exactly what we have our access to. If you believe that is God's word, now we have something to start with. So the first thing before you determine what a right is, what is right morally, you must have some absolutes. And see, we're in a point right now in our country, we're right now in a point in the world that there are no more absolutes. Oh, I know I'm about to get myself in trouble, but God is God. Right now, we're in a point now, we don't know. This one is a boy, and this one's a girl. They call it now. They got cisgender, you bigender, you binary gender. There's no absolutes. There are no more just a man and a woman. Look it up. I find myself in the spaces I work. I had to go and look at all these definitions to try to figure out, you know, make sure I'm talking to people right. And they tell me, well, I'm unisex and I don't have a sex and all this kind of stuff. There are no absolutes. People can be whatever they want to be. It's the same thing now when we get to the body of Christ. People say, oh, well, I can be a Christian and I can go get bloody drunk and I can go get high and I can do all these kind of things. And, you know, I can go out here and I can sleep with other people's husbands and I can sleep with other people's wives and I can wild out and I can still say, hey, you know what? I'm God's child. The devil is a lie. Oh, come on. I know this is tight. This is tight. Hit the share button if you ain't ashamed. But, you know, so all these things, there are no absolutes. And see, when you get to a point that there is no absolutes, what we find is then what the moral compass blows like the wind. It's whatever you say is right that day. We're in a part now what we in what they call cancel culture. And look, after this mess, maybe I might get canceled too. But who cares? Because only God, they didn't put me here, and only God can remove me because he's the one that put me here. They didn't make me, nor are they going to break me. Because what? It's God's power. It's God's love. God, what? If he did it, this is why he tells us what? Promotion doesn't come from the east to the west or the north to the south, but promotion comes from God. Because when God promotes you, you'll be promoted. When man puts you up there, when they get mad with you, here comes the counsel culture. Do you not know they counsel culture comes when everything and anything anybody do, that you and I are not allowed to make mistakes anymore? We are not allowed to be human. And see, this is a spirit that's pervasive, that's even trying to creep its way into the church. Well, that's too hard. Well, I don't know if that's holy. Well, I don't know if that's, well, that's too much for us. Well, we're losing all the young people. The Bible tells us that what we are to stand our ground. He told us that these days were coming. And if we keep living, more are coming. However, we are what? To stand our ground so that when people are ready, because that's going to come a day in time, as we see more and more on each and every day, that people are coming and there's somebody out there searching for the word. There's somebody out there searching for the truth. There's somebody out there searching for somebody in authenticity. They're authentic to say, baby, no, I don't get it always right, but I know that this is right. I don't always get it this right, but I know that this is where God has us to go, and I'm still striving to get there. Are y'all with me this morning? So absolutes. So first we must determine. And if this is not the case for you, then what I'm saying, you will be hogwash. What I'm saying, you wouldn't make sense. What I'm saying, you wouldn't matter. But that the Bible is the infallible word of God. And therefore what? Everything that I can say is right and wrong is judged upon that book. That's my absolute. All right, so then we move on to what? Now we have what the absolute right is in the more side. What do we mean? What about our rights? What is the definition of our rights? I'm glad you asked. I wrote it down. All right, come on. Our rights. Our rights simply mean this. Our rights, rights with an S, is conditions and protections that cannot be overthrown by government or law. All right, y'all hear that? Conditions and protection that cannot be violated by government or law. Conditions. So our rights are what? Are these conditions that cannot be violated by government or the law. So every day you hear people say that what? They're losing their rights. You know, they're losing their right to do this, and they're losing their right to do that. Well, I would beg to differ. If you really look at it by definition, the definition of a right is what? One that cannot be thrown over by what? By the government or the law. So if they took the right from you, then maybe it was not a right to begin with, from a definition point of view. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm a scholar. You know, God made me a scholar. That's how we argue. And that's how you got to look at these things. So if that's a right, so really, truly, what would be rights? Our rights would be what? To live. Because no matter what the government do or the law or whatever, you're living. So for somebody to take your right to live would mean that what? They took your life? Oh, come on, somebody. Are y'all with me? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you have this right to breathe. The only way somebody can stop that is what? Taking your life? Mm-hmm. So there are people who rights are taken away, but not how we take it. See how we take things and we twist them how we want them to be. See, yeah, I believe that that Black Lives Matter. But when Black Lives Matter and they want to tie it to a social movement of gender, of these, you know, gender and the gay movement and all these other things, I have to take a pause. I do believe my Black Lives Matter. I do believe the other Black Lives Matter. And what they're saying is not that all the other lives matter, but we just trying to make sure that you understand that this one matter. But we got to be careful, people of God, because now people are what? What did the devil do? He infiltrates. The Bible says it like this, that what? He planted a garden. Oh, come on, somebody. That the garden was growing. And what? When he was at sleep, the enemy came in and did what? And he sowed tares in there. And what happened was, now what? There is tares, there's weeds growing with the crop. And this is what you and I, brothers and sisters, have to be careful of, that in all these things that we're doing, and all these things that we support, and all these things that we have our rights to do and say, that we got to make sure that we watch out for the weeds that's in that which we're doing. We got to watch out for the weeds that are growing inside of this. See, the thing is, this is the people put it this way, say, don't let your good be evil spoken of. Come on, if I'm teaching this thing this morning to you, come on, give me some likes or something. Amen. Amen. So he said, don't let your good be evil spoken of. Meaning that what, you're there doing good, but there's tariffs that have been grown and sowed into that. So in that, what, you have these rights to do certain things, but in your right to do them, you might actually violate what is right. And people are always watching. Whether you know it or not, I know I have people watching me. There's going to be many who will watch this broadcast later, and they'll pass judgment, and they'll say whatever they need to say or whatever they feel like they need to say. But nonetheless, but I know that I'm in God's word. As long as I'm in God's word and I'm falling upon this line per line and precept upon precept, there is safety in God's word. It doesn't mean that people are not going to come after you. Not that you're not going to say things. They're not going to do things. And then there'll be a group that'll come in that'll appreciate you speaking the unadulterated word of God, that you wouldn't change it, that you would say it like it is and mean it like it, and it mean what it say. But at a point, again, remember, since nobody has any absolutes, then the moral compass is whatever I say it is. This is how you can justify things. This is how people justify their wrong. This is how you and I justify our wrong. Because what we do is, if we pull off the Bible, if we pull off that we don't have this absolute right, then what happens is our moral compass can be on anything because it's not backed by anything. For a long time in this country, the money that we had was backed by the amount of gold that we had in Fort Knox. Right? Y'all often hear people talking about the golden Fort Knox. I remember as a kid, we used to always say it was a joke and all this kind of thing. The golden Fort Knox. And our dollar, the paper dollar, was backed up based on the amount of gold we had locked up, on the amount of resources that you can trade for, right? Because that's all it is. All the money is just an easier way to trade your resource. Mm-hmm. Now, what happens is, when you remove the gold as the back into the dollar, what is it worth? It's worth whatever I tell you it's worth. It's worth whatever you deem it to be worth. If I gave you a dollar and you gave me your car, then you deem that money, that dollar, to be worthy enough for me to have that car. You gave the money its value. Are y'all with me? Same what's happening in our society today. When it comes down to moral clauses and things, we at a point now that we give it its value. And since it's coming from us, a dirty people, coming from us, a people who are born into sin, coming from us, a people who can miss the mark, a people who get things wrong, people who can fall into temptation, people who can lie, people who can steal, people who can, kill each other, people who can say such vile things to each other, people who can take down one another, people who can just violate and don't care. And it's coming from us. What good could it be? Are y'all with me? Am I helping somebody this morning? Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? Are you understanding the words that are coming out of my mouth? Oh, I like to have fun. But God is good. So, back to what you were saying. So they brought all this stuff here, and now they're feeding everybody. And then you hear it said, in Acts 37, it said, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the feet of the apostles. So it was brought here not just for the apostles to get fat or anything like that. It was brought there so that that money can be redistributed to everybody, so everybody had. This is what people would call today socialism or Marxism. It's, it is what it is. It's in your Bible too. And if you say that you believe it, I mean, if I'm wrong, please tell me. Y'all know I don't have any problem with criticism or being corrected. But last I checked, that's what it looked like to me. All the money's brought in here and then he redistributed. But see, this works. Why? Because they have men of God at the helm. Notice what I'm saying here. I'm not saying just a bootleg apostle, not somebody who just called themselves apostle, not somebody who just, I've been serving as pastor so long, so now I guess I'm going to be this and I'm going to be that. Mm-mm. We're talking about men who are truly appointed by God. And because they were truly appointed by God, then they had God's spirit, and therefore they were rightly divide the money. They were rightly distribute stuff. See, our problem is, we have to question, what's the really intent of the people who are at the helm? Oh, y'all know by now. I tell y'all, Safe House Church, we are an acquired taste. God has just made me one of those, those pastors or those preachers who provoke in a good way. What I mean by provoke is that I challenge you. I challenge you to read your Bible. I challenge you to study the Word of God. I challenge the thoughts that you have. I challenge those. Why? Because somebody has to speak truth to power. Somebody has to challenge that stuff for you to be able to see things for yourself. The Bible says, save yourself from this underworld generation. If you're noticing, my church here will tell you, people here in our church will tell you that I do not tell people what to think. I do not tell our people what to vote. I tell them, you go vote. And you vote whatever God has put on your heart to do. Because I'm not going to violate your right. It's your right. Mm-hmm. But when your right supersedes God's right, what do? And I can sit here and I can preach and say, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Until you have made up in your mind that it's your heart decision to do it, you're going to still do whatever you want to do. So that's why I have a problem with that. I know some people, you know, I grew up in a time and I get it. I get it. But things are different now in that people have different understanding. The Bible said, well, every generation will be your, well, why is it yet weaker? We're wise. We got the internet, y'all. I'm talking to hundreds of thousands of people from sitting in my den, in my home, talking to a camera and having a computer in front of me and looking at a TV screen. My grandfather never thought about this kind of thing. So his instructions to the people God had him leading were different. But I know now that God has me living, working with people who are scholars because he made me one. Why do you think God sent Daniel where he sent Daniel? Where he sent, where Paul went. Why? Because scholars can speak to scholars. Because I understand the language. I understand the lingo. I understand how we taught and how we understand. And, you know, like Moses grew up in the, what? Moses grew up in the school of the Egyptians. He understood how Egyptians thought. Why do you think God brought him back to free the Egyptians? I mean, free the slave, the Hebrew slaves. Because Moses understood how they thought. Moses understood the systems of Egypt. Moses understood. Moses ran away. Why? Because he failed himself and he took away somebody else's right to what? To live. If Moses wouldn't have killed that man, Moses probably would have still been right there. But since Moses killed that man and Moses was found out and somebody called him on it, somebody held him accountable to it, Moses fled. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm in the word today. I'm in the word today. All right. So what happens here? They laid him at the feet of the apostles. Mm-hmm. All right. Let me go on here. I mean, you'll stay here. Uh-oh. What am I thinking? Okay. I thought I went to the next chapter here. They didn't want to go? Come on. Next chapter. Next chapter. Next chapter. So we're going to chapter 5. Next chapter over. Okay. Here we go. All right, so Acts 5 and 1. This is where it gets really interesting. So Acts 5 and 1, it says this. And it says, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and bought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. So remember, this is why it was important that I told you the first part. So the first part, what are they doing? They're bringing all these things before the apostles' feet for redistribution because what? They're taking care of everybody. I guess what we would call a socialist society. Okay? All right? So the apostles are being charged with this. They're being charged to do that. So now here they come. They're what? Now they're, I would say they're probably maybe new believers. And what they want to do is they want to go in here and they want to do their part. They want to look the part without actually executing all of the part. How many of you know that we have some people, the Bible said that some of us have a form of godliness, but what do? We deny the power therein. There's a form of godliness, but we deny the power therein. We can't just have one and not have the other. You got to be all in on this thing, you all. There's no halfway. He said, well, you know, there's either hot or cold, and if you look warm, then what? I spew you out of my mouth. This is not a halfway thing. So what does he do? He goes in and they tell him, say, look, basically what happens is that they have some land. And they sell this land, and they tell them, you know, they gonna sell this land, and that they gonna give the money for selling this land. So, for example, if they said the land was gonna sell for $5,000, and they said they were gonna sell the land for $5,000, so they sold the land, and now what happens is they don't bring all the money. So what happens is, in essence, what happens is they say maybe they're gonna sell the land for $5,000. They might have sold the land for $10,000, but they only bring in $5,000 to the apostles' feet. And this is what happens at this part, Acts 3 and 5 and 3, it says, but Peter said unto Ananias, why have this Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land? So here what? He said they kept back price of the part of the price of the land. So they may sold it for 10, but they only bring in 5. But when they had already purposed and said that what they were going to do was they were going to give it all. So here what Peter does, what? He provokes. I don't think it's by accident that I've been named Peter, right? He provokes, and he says, he challenges them. and he challenges the spirit. God, you know, God tells your pastors and your leaders and those who are spiritual fathers over you, God tells us things all the time. You know, God's told me some things about some of the people that serve with me. And sometimes it's tough stuff. Sometimes it's hard for me to say. And I'll be honest, and I have to repent, because there's some things that I know God has told me and I have not said, because I don't want to hurt people's feelings. I don't want to call them out on their shortcomings, because I'm accountable too. I got people I answer to, a.k.a. Pastor Biggers is down here for us today. I have people that I have to be accountable to and get checked on. Do you understand what I'm saying to you on today? Because we all can fall short. We all can let little things come in. You know, I was hearing a story yesterday, about Robbie Zachariah. He was giving this story of a doctor and said this doctor was working on this lady who had been using drugs and all this kind of stuff. And he was operating on her and he nicked his finger, meaning that he cut his finger. And he said it was only a paper cut, but he was so concerned about that paper cut. Why? Because that paper cut, just from that little paper cut, he could gather a disease that could end his life. And he was helping her. And what we got to be careful of, brothers and sisters, is that it's, I keep telling you all, as the Bible says, it's the little foxes that destroy the vine. It's not us being in big sin, but it's these little things that we do. See, this thing right here, holding back that little bit of money, in essence of all these things, it was their right to do so. It was their land. They didn't have to get all the money, but they said they would. And since they had said they would, what they're lying against is not the brothers. They're not lying to Peter. But he says them what? They're lying to the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, what? You're lying directly to God? I don't know about you, but I can't be that bold. But some of us are every day with our actions, with our talks, with our walks, in the name of our rights. In the name of our rights, we choose our rights over what is right. Yeah, it's your right to go out here and sleep with every Tom, Dick, and Harry you want to be with. It's your right to go out here and write whatever you want on your tax return. It's your right to maybe pay your tithes and your offering if God, you know, God is giving you some. It's your right. You don't have to do anything. It's your money. It's your life. You can go out here, as they say, living my best life. You can go out here and live your best life. You can go out here and COVID it up if you want to. But I'm here to tell you today, there's a right to this thing. And it's not Peter's word. It's not that I made this thing up. Because I'm in this thing with you all. I want you all to understand that I'm a partner in this with you. I'm striving every single day. I have to keep my flesh under subjection too. And sometimes I want to almost what I call pimp slap somebody in the mouth. There are times when somebody I know need a knuckle sandwich. Somebody I know sometimes need a good cursing out. I know that somebody, as they say, need a piece of my mind, or I need to give them my 2 cents. I see them all day long on social media who just be saying dumb stuff all the time, who need to be, the record need to be set straight. But sometimes God tells us in all this that we need to hold our peace, and we need to let God fight our battles, and we need to choose those battles that we engage in carefully. And this comes with what? Time and wisdom. As the Bible tells us, and I learned that he said, don't cast your pearls before the swine. Because what are they going to do is what? They're going to trample on them. So sometimes you know what's right and you know what you have to say, and then people ain't going to hear you anyway. There's times that God will tell you to go ahead and say it anyway, and then there are times that you just have to be quiet and stand still and know that he is God. For it's he that's made us and not we ourselves. So he's lying here. And the Bible goes on and says, while it remained, was it not thy own? So now what? He questions him. He said it was your own. And he said, after it was so, was it not that in that own power? Was it not what? What is Peter saying here? Was it not your right? Are y'all with me? Why has thou covered this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. It's your right. It's your right. It's your right to do whatever you want to do. It's your right to destroy your body. It's your right. It's yours. So you think, because your body belongs to God. But we've told ourselves as men that it's our right. It's my body. It's our right. That's what we tell ourselves. But then I happen to notice, though, that when it goes wrong and we can't fix it, what do? We run to God and say, God, heal us. God, fix this body.
But I thought it was your body. Mm-hmm. I thought it belonged to you. So if it belonged to you, then that means you have the instruction manual to keep it running and to fix it. So why ain't you fixing it since it's your body? Why ain't you getting it right since it's your body? But I understand that I do not belong to myself. So when this body breaks down, I know who owns the manual to it. And I say, God, this thing is not right. Tell me something. And either he'll point me to a man or woman or God whose hands he uses, gifted hands. Uh-huh. Or he'll come in and things that they can't handle, we call miracles, when he has to defy the natural laws to work on our behalf. That's what miracles are. It's when he defies the natural laws. Because we have natural laws. I believe that science is science. Mm-hmm. It is. What goes up will come down. Mm-hmm. The thermodynamics, energy is not destroyed. It's what? It only changes forms. Uh-huh. I believe all that. All these things are what? They're true. But when God comes in and he violates those laws, what? Those are what we call the miracles. Those are the things that he allows to happen. What? That goes in, and what do? They defy logic for us to help us go forward. Amen? All right. So what does he do then? He goes on, he says this. And Ananias, hearing those words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on them that heard these things. So now what? They notice that Ananias lies, and Peter calls him out on his lie. He said, well, you had the right. But your right was not what was right. Your right was not what was right. And he dies right there on the spot. All right. So let's go on. Let's keep going. I'm almost done. I hope I'm helping somebody today. Because what? Like I said, I can teach you what's right from wrong all day. You understand what's right from wrong all day. But you got to follow through. That's something I can't do. I have to make that choice myself. And you have to make it too. I can preach you scared, but that's not what God called me to do. He told me to lay this thing out for you. You all are scholars. You all are Bible readers. You all people of good sense and good common sense. I don't have to treat you like children, but all I have to do is put it before you, and you have to make a decision. This is why here at Safe House, we what? DEA, discipleship. I'm going to walk this walk the best way I can, y'all. And I'm going to empower you. Hey, you have the opportunity to walk the walk too. And then when we fall short, just hold you accountable. Hey, you missed it here. Hey, we got to do a little bit better there. So what? We continue to get better each and every day. And others join this walk in this walk with us. Am I making sense to anybody this morning? I'm not going to condemn you. The Word of God can do that if you read it. Because do you not know there will become a day and time where you and I we're not able to do what we're doing right now. And you got to know the Word of God for yourself. If you've not gotten anything yet, I keep pushing you. It's not me. It's God's Word. And you have to partake in that. I'm just a shepherd. I'm just part of the walk. I'm just part of it. And at some point, I will be replaced. At some point, I will go on to my reward. But what do? That's why I can't point you towards me. Don't make me great. He said, he that serves, let him be great. And I'm asking you, will you be willing to serve with me? Will you be willing to partner with me and serve Christ so that others can see through our lives, through our suffering, that he is still able, through what we go through, that God is still, even through a pandemic, how he still is making sure all my bills are being met. Through a pandemic, and I've been out numerous times, and I work around people that God is going to protect me. You know, I work in the university, and I'm going to be around people, and we start back school tomorrow. And I'm going to be around thousands of people, and whether they know they're sick or not, but I have to trust and believe I'm going to do everything I'm supposed to do. I'm going to wear my face shield. I'm going to wear my mask. I'm going to look like I'm going to go to a hazmat convention. But nonetheless, even in all of that, I can still possibly come down with something, but I have to trust that God is going to be a fence. Jesus, be a fence around me. So y'all pray for you, Pastor. Mm-hmm. Because I still got to do what I got to do. But I got to trust and go forth. See, we don't have any trust. And I'm not signing that blind stuff thing where people just walk around, oh, yeah, we know people sick and we're going to go there. No, that's stupid. There's no other word for it. It's stupid. He's given us these things, and we know these things, and he's allowed us to learn things through other people. Like I tell you, I believe in science. My Bible supports science. Big Bang Theory, he said, let there be light. Bang, and there was light. I'm telling you all. Did these dinosaurs and all this stuff? Oh, absolutely. And my Bible talks about these things. See, don't let these folk get you twisted by listening to what they say. Read it for yourself. And the Spirit of God will minister. This is why it's important that we have the Holy Ghost. Because then the Spirit of God will minister to you. And then you'll know when Pastor Pete is stepping on my toes. I know I don't like it, but I know it's right. When Pastor Big is stepping on my toes, and when Elder Bishop Austin is stepping on my toes, I know I don't like it, but I know it's right. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Because I have others that I'm accountable to. And I know the Holy Ghost inside of me has to say, you know what, Peter? I know you didn't like that, but they were right. I know you didn't like exactly how that came across, but you needed it. And this is how we grow. The Bible talks about growing from milk to meat. This is how you and I grow in Christ. Let me go ahead and finish this up and let you out of here. I know y'all, your turkey sandwich is calling or whatever it is that you want to do. But I'm grateful. This is good. I hope you all are getting something out of this. And then the Bible says this. And then he goes on and says, and then Ananias is what? He's falling down and he's dead. And then we have verse 5 and 6 and says, and the young man rose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. So basically they wrapped him up in the carpet and they took him out. Okay? And then the Bible says this. And it was in about the space of 3 hours. 3 hours. Three being significant, right? 3 hours. When his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. So here it is. The wife is in on the gig too. Now, you know, men, you know, husband and wife, yeah, we're supposed to be together. And some of us so much together, then we would rather go die for our spouse when we know they're in the wrong. Now, remember the Bible tells us what? Save ourselves from this underworld generation. He said that a righteous woman can help sanctify a righteous man and vice versa. So just because your spouse is in wrong, don't mean that you go do wrong too. Oh, I got a wife. We be married 18 years this year, and I love her to death. Lord knows I do. But I tell her, if I'm off, and sometimes I've been off. There have been times that my own daughter has checked me. See, I'm not above reproach. None of us can be above reproach. When you're above reproach, when you think you all got it together, you're in trouble. It's over. Because we can't walk in self-righteousness. So there have been times where I was doing things or I said things or I might have had an attitude about things, and my own daughter, 8 years old, she'll be 9 this week, God be the glory. She said, Daddy, that's not right. You shouldn't do that. And I looked at her, and of course, the parent in me and the pride in me, being the husband and being the dad, wanted to swell up and say something, said, girl, just shut your mouth. But then that's when the Holy Ghost comes in, and the Holy Ghost convicted me and said, you know what? She's right, you know. I couldn't do nothing but put my head down and say, Maddie, just be quiet. See how God will use those around you sometimes to speak truth to power? Speaking truth to power can come to you too as a pastor. Because I'm not perfect. I got a lot of flaws. You're probably seeing some on my face right now. All my flaws. But being able to be rebuked when it's in season. You know when you're being rebuked because you need to be rebuked. And you know when it's just somebody just saying whatever they want to say. So these things, what, come together. So here, look, now Ananias' wife, Sapphira, here she comes. She comes in the space of 3 hours, not knowing what is done. She don't even know Ananias is gone. She don't know Ananias is dead. And what does she say? In verse 5 and 8, it says, and Peter answered to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yeah, for so much. She straight up lied to him because she in on the gig. Don't let money be the reason you go to hell. Don't let money be the reason why you go to the lake of fire. Because the Bible is clear about money. It says that what? The love of money is the root of all evil. Think about everything in our society. And I thought about this, and I thought about this deeply. I cannot find one thing that at some point didn't lead back to money. People kill people. Why? Over money. Mm-hmm. You know, we abort babies over money. Why? Because I don't have the money to take care of them. So therefore, this is my better option. people die in hospitals because of lack of money. They don't have the financial resources to continue care. So therefore, it happens. Think about it. I cannot, for one, maybe you can find something, but I cannot, for one, cannot tell you not one thing that doesn't lead back to money. Because money, what? It harbors control. So those who have the money typically have what? The control. We can see that money can buy some people what we call is injustice, really is what it is. It's an injustice, but it buys them their own sort of justice. And this is what? Based off what? Them working within themselves. And this is what I continue to tell you. When you make your own moral compass, you can do whatever you want to do. So when you make the rules, you can buy them. Are y'all getting what I'm saying? This is a deep word today. You can buy them. So this is why we see people who, you know, one man who might get sentenced for, what, 10 years for doing the same crime, another man gets sentenced to for what, 2 months. We see this injustice all the time. Why? Because somebody can afford a better lawyer than somebody else. Somebody else can, you know, I can get this person then more than somebody else. So therefore, they can manipulate the system or argue the system in such a way that people see in my favor, and therefore now I get released. Or I get it. Do you see what I'm saying? The Bible says that. So here it is again. This same money. Mind you, they probably own more than just this property. Because the Bible says all this stuff was going, they were redistributing this stuff. They was giving it back. That's what they did. We do a lot of that at the safe house. We redistribute. Absolutely. Because it's not my stuff anyway. I'm just God's man for that hour. And when he decided that he wants somebody else here, he'll put him here. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm expendable, y'all. Don't get it twisted. I can be here today and go tomorrow. I don't know why people got this thing that pastors are not expendable. Because I can leave here and the Safe House Church needs to go on. It would need to go on. Because the Safe House Church is not built off Peter Ealy. It's built off God's people and God's word and the ability to go forward in helping our brothers and sisters to meet God and to find him and live a better life. Peter just happened to be a point man for right now. Are y'all clear on that? So what does he say here? Then he goes on and he says this. This is what happens in the story. Then Peter said unto her. Mm-hmm. He said, Peter said unto her, how is that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of God? He's talking about they agreed on this together. Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and should carry them out. What is he saying? They just, the same guy who just got through burying Ananias, he's here now to go bury you too. He is here to bury you because now you just dropped dead too. And then what does the Bible say then? Then it says in verse 10, then she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost, meaning that she died. And the young man came in and found her dead. Now imagine if you these guys, you just got in, you just brought this, like, just brought the husband. And now you come in and you find her dead. And they carry her forth and bury her by her husband. And it says this, and great fear. Fear meaning not just scare, but fear of what? Of reverence. Fear of respect. Because we're at a point now, people don't even respect the power of God no more. And you know what? It's Christians' fault. We allowed this to happen because we slept on the job. I'm included. I tell you all, I'm in this with you all. And he said, great fear came upon the church and upon as many as heard these things. Mm-hmm. As many as have heard these things. Brothers and sisters, I'm just here to tell you today, do we have rights? Absolutely. We have rights, but our right cannot supersede what God has called right. God has called things right and wrong. You know, we have laws in the land that allow us to do all kinds of things. There are laws in the land that allow us to cheat people. And we know we're cheating people. There are laws in the land that allow us to take advantage of those who don't have certain knowledge or who doesn't have certain understandings. Mm-hmm. And there are laws that allow us to do that. There are things that we can do and we can take advantage of people and just run over people and it all be legal. Hear what I'm saying. It all be legal. However, just because it's your right to be able to do so, just because it's legal for you to do so, just because you're within the laws of doing so, doesn't mean that you're within God's law of doing so. You and I serve a greater king. You and I serve the King of Kings. We serve the Lord of Lords, and he's allowed us to be here in this earth, and he's allowed us to do a lot of amazing things. And you all, I've been blessed beyond measure. I've been blessed far beyond my dreams, and I've done things and been places I never thought I would go, and I've done things and met people I thought I would never get to meet. But in all of that, it means nothing if I treat my brother and sister like trash. It means nothing if I bypass them, I violate them, that they're still a human being. They still have, they hurt, they cry, they have pains, they have wants. Their children's stomachs be hungry at night. And how can you and I be in this place? How can you and I walk in this walk and talk this talk and say that we serve a king and we tell people how wonderful and how great he is and he is. And yet we see our brother and sister that we trample upon every day. That we see our brother and sister that we won't tell the truth to. We see our brother and sister that we just let them go by the wayside. We see our brother and sister that we have a right to choose. And yet, what do we choose? We choose to sit on the sideline. We choose to be quiet. We choose our pocketbooks in some cases. We choose our things in some cases. We choose our own well-being. This cannot be a safe space for us. This is why I believe God called this church to be the safe house, because all this safe space will be what? In his place, in his temple, in his presence. Other than that, we don't live in safety. But because of that, God has put a fence around us. He's put a fence. The Bible said, what? There's a hedge. Remember this, and I'm gonna end with this. Remember when the devil was looking for somebody to challenge and somebody to provoke, and what he did was he told them, he said, I would go after, and for those of you all coming in, God has blessed us with 2 years. Amen. This is second year of the Safe House Church. I probably should have put that on there, but nonetheless, thank you. And what we find is that the devil asked, he said, I will go after Job, but you have this hedge around him. You have a hedge around him where I cannot get to him. I can't do certain things to him. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you today that God has a hedge of protection around us. And the hedge of protection is around you as long as you follow his word. As long as we're doing what's right within his word. As long as we're going after what's right. I'm not saying don't be an idiot. Don't be what I call the brilliant idiot. Don't be a brilliant idiot in that, hey, you know what? I'm going to just do this and I'm going to walk and I'm going to go grab rattlesnakes and all this stuff, because he said you could grab snakes and all this stuff and it wouldn't bite you. And No. Use common sense. He said even the devil, when the devil brought Jesus up there in the great temptation, he told him what? Jump off of this hill. You know, the angel's going to come and save you. And what does Jesus tell him? You do not tempt the Lord thy God. I'm telling you, don't tempt the Lord thy God. Wear your mask. But that's your right not to wear it. If you don't want to wear it, remember, that's your right. Wear your PPPs, your personal protection items and all this kind of thing. Use some wisdom in this time period. If you know you're in some high areas and some things, just use some wisdom. But it's your right. Not to, you're right, it's your right you don't have to wear a mask. It's your right that you don't have to cover up. You know what, it's your right not to even wear clothes. It's your right. But in all your rights, keep what God said is right. God bless you all, love you all. This has been the Safe House Church, and we're celebrating year number 2 in ministry here. I'm just so grateful to all of those who have supported us, those who have joined our congregation. The doors of our church are always open. If there are any others who would like to join us, if there are any others who would like to be members of the Safe House Church, hey, just contact me. You can just speak up. We would love to have you join us. We're going to teach you. We're going to love on you. We're going to empower you. And we're going to hold you accountable. Now, if you don't want to be held accountable, maybe this is not the ministry for you. I know we're not everybody's cup of tea, but we're just a group of people who believe in serving God. We're just a group of people who want to see, you know, God's people go forward and we be the head and not the tail, that we be above and not beneath, but we be both with us and conquerors through Christ Jesus, who strengthens us. And, you know, I'm just so grateful. Again, just so happy to celebrate today, 2 years in ministry. I know last year this time we went out to eat to Fleming's and all kinds of stuff. We had a great old time. Pastor Biggles just preached that, came in and you know, installed us that 1 year. And then last year we had Brother DeQuall, Elder DeQuall from Massachusetts came and preached like a madman. Oh, my God. Man, time is flying because I almost forgot about that. It was last year that we had Elder DeQuall come in. From Massachusetts, from Boston, Massachusetts, and he preached like a madman, y'all. Woo! So if you got a chance, go back and look at those videos, or go back and I know we had the video, and I know he has that video. It just really blessed us, and we're just so grateful. And this year, you know, typically, like I said, I have somebody preach on the anniversary, but this year, since we're in this space, went forward. We're still looking forward to get Elder Hauserman in. I haven't figured it out yet. Still working on it, but I hadn't forgot Elder Hauserman. We're going to get Elder Hauserman to come in, and he's going to bless us real good. I believe in, you know, using the men and women of God as God has given us. Amen. And they're just so good, and I'm just so grateful so on this day. So at this time, we're going to go before God, give you the opportunity to bless them in tithe and offering here at the Safe House Church. This is now our offering time. I ask that you all govern yourselves accordingly. We have the cash out. We do have the cash out that's there, and we do have the the PayPal that you can bless this ministry if God has put on your heart to do so. We ask that you just bless according to however he's put in your heart to do it. Amen. Amen. We're just going to get a little bit of, I'll call it marching music here on that. How many of you know that God is God and he is God all by himself? Amen. 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 I'm so grateful. Come on. Can I get some music here? Is it playing? Amen. Oh, I didn't turn it all the way down. I'm sorry. Don't leave. We're going to come back here. We're going to pray and we're going to get you out of here. Give you a couple minutes to get that down. That's the $SafeHouseChurch, GSO. And they also have the PayPal.me/ministry. I am the first. And the last. Let me be just that. Amen, amen, amen. If there be any prayer, I mean, if any who need prayer among us at this particular point in time, I'll give you the opportunity to put in that prayer in the chat right now. We will pray for those who are seeking prayer, those for anything that you need. We'll pray for God's strength. We'll pray for God's protection over those who are going back to work this week, those teachers who are going back to the schools. I know we're not in the most ideal time, but I do believe that God's power, he knows exactly where we're going, what we're going through, and why we're going through it, that he's just going to protect us and he's going to put his arms around us. Amen? For he's God. And he's all God by himself. Will you pray with me? Oh, Lord, and the Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning, Lord Jesus. We just want to say we thank you. Lord, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for seeing yet another year, Lord Jesus, in ministry, Lord Jesus. I thank you for the Safe House Church, Lord Jesus, those who support us, Lord God, those who walk hand-in-hand in partnership with us, Lord Jesus, we go forward. Lord Jesus, I ask you to continue to watch up and keep us on this week and this continue this academic year. Lord Jesus, those teachers, as they prepare to go back to work, oh God, Lord Jesus, they don't know where danger is, oh God, but Lord, I ask that you build a fence around us, oh God. Put a hedge of protection around us, oh God. Lord, put a hedge of protection around me, oh God, as we go back and forth up and down the dangerous highways, oh God. Give us the decisions we need to make, oh God. Let us be wise in our decision-making, Lord. Show us where to go and where not to go, what to say, what not to say, what to do and what not to do. Bless us to go forward, oh God, and Lord Jesus, in your power, Lord, give us the wisdom, Lord Jesus, far beyond our years, oh God. Lord Jesus, I ask that if any of us be sick, oh God, that you touch our bodies right now, from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet, oh God. Lord Jesus, help us to go forward, Lord Jesus, and know, Lord Jesus, that it's you that made us and not we ourselves, oh God. And we thank you for your power, Lord. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for your understanding. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for just a sound mind, Lord. For many are losing their minds in this day, in this time, oh God. But you have given us a sound mind, Lord Jesus, a love and power, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord. I love you. And we praise your name, Lord. And we give you all the honor, all the praise, the glory, the power, Lord, that belongs to you and you alone. And Lord, you do it all. We ask you to do all these things and others in the powerful name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we ask, amen, 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 amen. For we walk, we know this one thing, and we know this to be true, church, that we walk by faith and not by sight. God bless you all. I love you all. Happy anniversary. Happy 2 years, Safe House Church. Who would have thought? I never thought I'd be a pastor. I never thought I'd be in this space doing what we're doing. But you know what? God is good, and he's worthy to be praised. God bless you all. Celebrate with us. If you would, if God laid on your heart, drop something in the cash shop or come by. Leave a kind remark. Safe House is celebrating 2 years of full-time ministry on today. It was 2 years ago that we've been going every single Sunday for the last 2 years. And I'm just grateful to what God is doing. God bless you all. I love you all. Take care. And Lord's willing, see you all on Wednesday night. And if not, see you on Sunday. Take care. Bye-bye.